This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Oh, hi, my name's Jeanette and I'm now alcohol-free for around 150 days, which is a miracle, to say the least. I've been trying to go alcohol-free for about a decade, on and off, doing a month here, a week here, 2 months here, you know the score. But now I'm 150 days in and absolutely loving it. Life is so much better. Being part of the OTI community has helped me vastly. It's fun. It looks at what you're gaining, not what you're missing out, which was a mistake I made before. I always thought I was missing out on life when I wasn't drinking. Oh my God, how wrong was I? Life is great without a drink. Just try it.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It is fantastic to have you listening, especially if you have maybe discovered us during the month of January. This might be the first time for a very, very long time you have thought, you know what, I'm just gonna try this thing. I'm just going to remove booze for maybe this month, maybe February as well. Get into March, 100 days, we say it's a tipping point. Who knows? Either way, it's really good to have you here listening to Over the Influence. An introduction, or maybe a reintroduction, as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. I am based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I am now over 5 years alcohol-free. This will be my 6th year of sobriety. And still, when I say it out loud, it sounds absolutely flipping bonkers. I turned 50 last November. I never meant to be alcohol-free. I didn't really understand what sobriety was. It just sounded dull and boring. But I took a break from alcohol. I gave it a shot. I gave it everything. And all this happened quite unexpectedly, falling head over heels in love with sobriety. Hands down, the best decision I ever made. In answer to the question, you're thinking, well, what did you drink? What was it like? I drank too much, too quickly, and far too often. And now I don't touch the flipping stuff. I never, ever want to go back there ever again, as long as I live. Right, OK, I don't do this on my own. Ben Anderson, how are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm Ben. I'm 35. I live in Liverpool. This year I'll be 4 years alcohol-free. You know, lots of people use January, don't they, to kind of kick off their alcohol-free adventure. We're getting towards the back end of January now, but if you're just discovering this podcast, I started my alcohol-free journey in July. I had my birthday and I went absolutely far too over the top and woke up with the world's worst hangover and thought, I can't do this anymore. And I finally knocked booze on the head on the 6th of July. You gave up in September, didn't you, Shaz?
Yeah, and it was for me, the perfect time of year. It was after another really boozy summer and I thought, oh God, here we go again. I'm fat, I'm bloated, I feel tired, I'm miserable and all the rest of it. So I started in the September as the children went back. It was the day the kids went back to school. Yeah, yeah. Monday, the 3rd of September, 2018. I can remember it literally like it was yesterday. I can remember the hangover actually like it was yesterday. And for me, it was like new pencil case, new book, new shoes, new start. And it was a cracking time of year to do it, moving towards autumn and Christmas. Yeah.
I think my point is, we know that a lot of people listen to this who are already alcohol free, but we know that a lot of people listen who are sober curious. And if you're one of these people who's like, oh, you know what? I know that I should remove. Oh, I've missed dry January now. So no, do it now. Have a dry February instead. Do you know what I mean? Like the best time to start is now. Because it is the gift that keeps on giving, alcohol-free life. And for me, I was a binge drinker, so I didn't drink every day. But when I did go out, when I did drink, I didn't have that off switch. It was very easy to twist my arm to stay in the pub for a couple more pints. I drank faster than everybody else as well. Oh, I'm never going to have another hangover again. And you know what, Shaz? That's the best feeling in the world. Right, Sharon. It's your favourite kind of episode today because we obviously love talking to the alcohol-free authors, the Instagrammers, the celebs. You know, it's quite fun, isn't it? A bit of showbiz glamour. But these are our total faves, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's always my fave when we speak to a community member. They are the best episodes. And today, it gives us great pleasure to welcome Aaron to Over the Influence. Aaron is from a little village south of Glasgow in Scotland. There are loads of Scottish people in this community as well, aren't there, Ben? Absolutely loads. Aaron is one of them. And I think the best thing so far is that he's joined this call wearing his OTI merch. Welcome, Aaron, to Over the Influence. How
good evening.
Are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Very good. I thought I'd best throw the jumper on before joining the call.
I'm surprised you're not wearing your beanie and clutching your mug as well and like your medal for one of the OTI events.
My various medals that I've got, yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. Oh, we've got so much to talk about, Aaron. For myself and Ben, and this still continues, it's been nothing short of joyous to watch your alcohol-free journey. Actually, sorry for using the J word so early on in the episode as well. To see this all unfold literally in front of our eyes, mostly over Zoom, on the real life events as well, all because you took a decision to remove alcohol and then just come and see what Over the Influence was all about. Before we get into what it's been like for you over the past year, because you are now over 1 year alcohol free. Would you
recently,
take
isn't
us-
it, Aaron?
Very recently.
Very
recently.
How alcohol free are you?
381 days.
Amazing.
Today,
so, great. Well in, mate. Well,
I'm not counting actually, days, but I did just look at the app just before we started this.
It's so good. If you're thinking, I recognise that voice as well, that those beautiful Scottish tones. Aaron was on a podcast back end of this year, and it was with another community member called Chris in the States. Go back and have a listen to that one. But what we wanted to do was speak to Aaron all on his own, celebrate his 1 year achievement and just find out, delve into a little more about you, Aaron. So can we rewind to at least, we'll say, 382 days ago and even before that and just share what life was like for you as a young man drinking?
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun for the most part, I would say. It's a kind of weird one. It enabled me to meet lots of people in the village that I live in. So I moved here, it'll be 8 years in March, and I moved straight from my parents' house into my own place. I never did the whole uni halls, that sort of thing, and moving away. So really my drinking started with my parents at dinner. And then when I kind of moved on my own, it opened up this world of going to the pub every single night and having great fun. And I don't have any regrets really about the past, because you can't change the past. So I always think, well, you know, just that's a part of my life and I'm now in a new chapter of my life. So I'll just kind of move on from that. But it enabled me to meet lots of people within the village and get to know lots and lots of people. So if I ever go for a walk, you know, it takes me ages because I'm constantly stopping and saying hello to various people. But it's all stemmed from my local pub and meeting people there. You know, I was actually going on holiday with the landlord and the landlady at the pub. I used to go away with them. Like, I had that a good relationship. And I used to think that the pub was, it was great, it was brilliant. But my dad would always say, oh, it's very cliquey, that pub. And I'd be like, I don't understand what you mean by it being cliquey. But now that I've removed myself from it, I realise that, you know, I was that person sat at the end of the bar that would look around when the door opened. That kind of...
You're not from around here vibes, you mean?
Yeah,
it's
totally.
A local pub for local people.
Yeah, totally. Like, who is this? I don't recognise you. So, but yeah, my drinking then just was every day. And I used going to the pub as a... like socializing after work sort of thing. And I think because I live in my own and I was coming home to an empty house, that I actually just wanted to go and just discuss my day, my working day with somebody, or just talk about something that isn't related to work. And that was my routine of going to the pub. But then it also started creeping in that I would then, once I had a couple of pints in the pub, I would come home and then I'd open a bottle of wine whilst making dinner. And then usually just finish the bottle of wine. And then certainly at the weekend, you know, there would be more pints in the pub, but I would still be having that bottle of wine. And then I might have some whiskey to finish the night off sort of thing. So really for 7 years, it was drinking on that sort of level every day. But I wouldn't call myself an alcoholic, but I was certainly a problem drinker, or it was approaching it where it would become very problematic, because it was only ever going to go up and up and up. I think that's the, as your tolerance becomes used to what you're drinking. But yeah, so that's kind of me. That's a really long-winded answer.
No, it's not. It's really, really interesting. Yeah. Was there a point, Aaron, where it changed from going to the pub, you know, socialising, having a couple of pints, and then drinking more, and then you realise, actually, I'm doing this every night at home now? Were you aware of the change, or was it sort of quite insipid, and then a few years down the line, it bites you on the arse, which is what happened in my case?
Yeah, so I think, I probably aware of it changing a specific date, you know, and say, right, it was exactly on Thursday the 16th of September that I realized, you know, but I got bored of it. I actually just got bored of feeling like shit, basically. And I had done a couple of stints of going alcohol free. I would occasionally do a month of being alcohol free, but I wasn't reading any Quitlet or listening to any podcasts. It was really just me doing it on my own, going against the grain. And I found it, I don't know, that I suppose it's the fading effect bias, but it was only after 30 days that I would suddenly be like, well, I can kind of, well, it wasn't that bad, and I can go back to moderating, and I'm going to try and be really strict to not drink on a school night and all that sort of stuff. So I was constantly in that cycle of doing it. But then it would have been September in 2022, August, September, I went away on holiday and I decided to go alcohol free, and I did 6 weeks alcohol free, and I was listening to OTI at that point, but never joined the community. Didn't think it was anything I needed, potentially scared that I might know somebody or somebody might know me, that sort of fear. And then I went back to drinking, but I also then started going to the gym in 22 as well, and really enjoying that and seeing some results in my fitness and level and all that sort of thing. But noticed that I did lose some weight, but I actually just steadied out. So my drinking, I was still drinking the same as much as when I was doing fitness. So I was really not actually benefiting from anything. And it was a conversation with my PT who said, you do realize the amount of calories that you're like intaking and purely just alcohol isn't leaving any room for actual food. Like you're kind of way over the limits. So yeah, I certainly had these goings on in my head, but also that kind of age old thing of you don't want to do everything at the same time because you almost set yourself up for failure. So I'm like going to the gym 4 days a week, and then I'm going to quit sugar, and I'm going to quit alcohol, and I'm going to quit caffeine, and like it's going to not end probably very well. So yeah, it was one of those. But yeah, I was just getting really bored of it, bored of feeling like crap. I think you get used to being in a hangover, so that feeling just becomes the norm, and it's so weird. And it's not until you remove it and go, huh, well, this is what it feels like to be normal, you know, like waking up in the morning and not struggling in work and whatnot. So yeah, there was in the latter days, I was definitely fed up with it and tired. I was also in quite a dark place, and I was really low moods, and just I was depressed, and I was struggling at work, and you know, I was just skint all the time. I had no money. So yeah, it's nice to be on the other side of that now, looking back.
Aaron, did you like when you go to the gym, do you talk to anyone?
So I always went to, I would only ever go into the gym with a personal trainer. I wasn't, which sounds really fancy, but I was not.
Fancy. I only go to the gym if the personal trainer's there.
It's because I actually had no interest. I find gyms quite a weird place, and it's full of like primarily young, muscly guys. And it's a bit like off-putting, I find. So I don't have that confidence to just go and.
That kind of, I was trying to lead you down a line there that was going to reinforce my point, but kind of that's a fair comment. Because the thing that I was going to say is that I'm not sure if I've mentioned it to either of you, actually sharing on our many phone calls, WhatsApp messages, podcast recordings. Aaron, you know, you come on my Zoom calls on a Saturday morning. We keep in touch. I'm really taking my health and fitness seriously in 2024.
Yes, you are.
I've heard.
Yeah. But I've got yoga friends now. You know, I've been going to the same yoga class and I've got yoga friends. Right? Not great. You know, not like, oh my God, how are the kids? You know, I've only just started. Maybe one day we'll get there. But I'm going to cardio tennis on a Wednesday.
Of course
which
you
is tennis lessons, but with running around the cardio tennis. And I'm making friends there. I go and have personal training as well, Aaron, actually. Sorry for mocking you a minute ago. Me and Jem share a personal trainer. And you come out and, you know, there's the spin class going in afterwards and you see, how are you? I haven't seen you. You know, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, isn't it funny that we are almost conditioned? Like, how many opportunities did you have to go and build connections? Because when you first said, you know what, when I moved to this village, I went to the pub and basically my entire social circle came from those connections. I was really sad for you to think like, oh, you haven't got that anymore. Like, you know, isn't it a shame that actually this thing was a really, you know, the pub, the community that you built there, that environment is no longer something that you could, that you do. But then actually you kind of go, well, but that's not, like, surely your village isn't just houses and a pub. There are other things happening. But isn't it funny that that's the first thing we go to? Like, oh, well, I'm new here. I want to meet people, so therefore I must go to the pub and sit and drink. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, why is that the mindset?
Yeah, it's actually a village full of houses and three pubs.
Obviously.
Yeah. No, actually, I could have answered that question differently that you'd asked me, because I also, along with going to personal training, I went to classes run by the personal trainer. So I would go to a spin class and two boot camp classes throughout the week. So I met loads of fantastic people in the gym. And there's a couple there, Andrew and Laura, who married a couple who have become very good friends of mine, like really good friends, who through, I suppose, chatting with me have looked back and like their relationship with alcohol and such things. They've started just started a young family, two young kids, and they drink very little, but they were the type of people I would chat to when I was still drinking and couldn't understand that they could go a full week without drinking. You know, like, there are people that can all like moderate, but essentially in the past year, they've drank very little themselves, and I've become like very close with him. It's funny how that kind of happens, but I think that's the friend thing. So me suddenly not going to the pub anymore, a lot of people that I know feel that I should probably still be going to the pub, but just being alcohol free. And for me, going to the local seems just weird. It feels like going back to the scene of a crime. Not that anything outrageous happened there, but
it's bad to say this is a publicly released podcast, Aaron. Anything you do say, maybe give it an evidence.
Yeah, absolutely. No, so there's nothing obscene happening, but it was just, it just doesn't feel like somewhere that I necessarily want to be. And it's not that I'm not friends with anyone that, you know, if I still see them in passing or around the village, I'll always still chat. And I've been to a few social events like weddings and such things that I see people, but it's this whole thing of like, is it trying to prove a point by me going to the pub, you know, to show that, oh, I can still do this, but I just don't drink. It's just not my vibe anymore. I just don't feel the need to do it. But then now what I've found is I have replaced going to the pub every night with jumping on a Zoom call every night. So okay. That's kind of what I do now instead.
Yeah, I want to challenge this idea that the pub is the community hub. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be. Like,
no,
it's an easy go-to, isn't it? But actually, there's loads of different, like, I look around, we live, you know, we're not far from the centre of Liverpool. It's basically like a little village on the outskirts of Liverpool, essentially. And you've got your running clubs, you've got, there's so much stuff that goes on that isn't sitting and drinking in a pub.
Yeah,
but definitely.
Sorry, I'm just going to jump in there. Sorry, Ben. Sorry, Aaron. You're right. But I tell you something, I didn't discover the other stuff outside of the pubs until I stopped drinking, because I wasn't interested, like literally not interested. So as a drinker, I think you naturally navigate, don't you, towards other drinkers. You know, I wouldn't have given a hoot about amateur dramatics or or joining this or joining the running. I would have laughed at it.
We haven't talked about you alcohol. Getting your boobs out in Preston for ages, have we?
Did I mention that I was in Calendar Girls? I was on the stage, darlings, actually.
I've just listened to the episode that you were doing that on. It was the Yorkshire Three Peaks special, and you had, yes, everyone had went to see you. So,
same weekend.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, just to, community
just
members.
Just to be clear, Sharon wasn't one of the naked characters, but it's just a gag. That
I didn't get me norks out. No, I didn't.
Why'd you use that word?
Because it's better than the T word that we normally use.
Yeah, please don't use that one. I actually thought about it the other day, Shaz, because I walked past a poster and there's someone setting up a bird watching group in our area to go out to Sefton Park and walk around.
Right up my street. And it's stuff like this.
I
wouldn't have given it a second thought. I'd have laughed at it. And I think it's almost like it's like a safety blanket, isn't it? As a drinker going to the pub. And it's hard. It's really hard, Aaron. When you remove alcohol, you're like, right, oh, I've got to learn how to socialise now, almost all over again. What was that like then for you? As Ben's mentioned there, because I think he was really concerned that you stopped going to the pub, you stopped drinking, and then you had no mates. You know, what was that like?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it was really like that. But I'm such a sociable person anyway, and quite extroverted, I would say. You do realise that there's probably some more introvert tendencies when you go alcohol free and realize actually I'm quite happy just coming home and putting the fire on. But you know, I'm very sociable at work. It's a family business, and then I phone my mum most nights, so I'm always chatting to somebody.
Shaz's face there.
Oh, I love that. Oh, big up Aaron's mum. I love it. What do you share with your mum when you ring her every night?
I usually try and time it when they're watching EastEnders because it annoys them. So that's the only reason I phone, really. And my sister does the exact same thing as well. And it is so funny because she'll be really short with you. And I'll go, are you okay? And she's like, yep. I was like, right, okay, how was your day? Yep, it was fine, yep. And I'm like, are you watching EastEnders? And it's like, yes, yeah. You go then.
I love that, Aaron. I love that.
But just general chit chat about how the day's gone and such things. So it's really relaxed. But yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I get where Ben's coming from, because if I was to suddenly move to, say, a new village and I didn't know anyone, it's like, how would you get to meet people? But in the village I live in, there's a golf club, a bowling club, there's a sailing club, a rowing club, there's a stand-up club, there's everything, there's all these different clubs. So I guess it just depends maybe what your interest is, and you would go through those sort of ways. But I don't know, it's like I'm so busy with work that like trying to go to these things of an evening or on the weekend that I probably wouldn't bother. But I've thankfully kept the majority of friends that I have made through the pub, but it's made me realise who my true friends are and who were just drinking buddies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And go on, tell us more about that. What do you mean? Without naming names, because whatever you say may be given an evidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just you realise, people, that you suddenly remove yourself from the pub and then you don't actively keep in touch with them, but then they've not been in touch with you at all. So it's more just like your friends out of convenience, because you're both in the pub at the same time, both chatting, sharing stories back and forth, but actually out with that pub setting, you don't speak to each other. And I definitely, in the early days of sobriety, watched relationships just kind of like disappear. And, you know, I was going on one path and they were going on a completely different path, but equally, I wasn't doing anything to try and like hold that relationship together. I was kind of just letting it naturally go, but it wasn't in any like dramatic breakup sort of thing, like I'll never see you again. And it's like our paths might cross again in the future, or I might see you when I'm out walking and there's absolutely no hard feelings. It's kind of like, oh, what have you been up to and what's going on? So, but yeah, I think that happens probably to a lot of people.
Can we talk more about connections and friendships, relationships? They do change when you remove alcohol. In many ways, they've got to, some of them. They absolutely do. And it's interesting what you were saying there. You know, some of them, they naturally shed away. But when we first started chatting, Aaron, and you were listening to Over the Influence, and you thought, well, I don't need to join a community. But you did. Why?
So I joined this coming Sunday, will be a year since I joined OTI. And I joined because I was going away for my sister's 40th at the end of January. And it was going to be the last weekend of dry January. Fall just dead on that weekend. And I felt, I don't know, I was lying in bed on a Sunday morning and thought, do you know what? I'll just do it. I'll join for a month. You know, it's less than what I was spending on realistically a bottle of wine in the very Chaz, quickly.
Chaz, write this down. He's writing the poster for us. Less,
you're brilliant.
Less
excellent,
than I'd spend less than, on a bottle of. Yeah. Sorry, carry on, Aaron. Carry on.
Yeah, well, so it depends. Aaron, it depends January what 24th. Wine you were drinking in the latter days.
Aaron, you've got a personal trainer, so we know that you're drinking decent wine.
Oh, and also, wine, for the record,
expensive
there's,
wine.
There's no decent wine.
Yeah.
There's no decent wine, and what we're going to come back to towards the end of this episode, Ben. I know that Aaron now shops at not just any supermarket for his special grapes. I do believe. But anyway, that's by the by. We'll come back
yeah,
to
okay.
that. And where were yeah. we, Aaron? Yeah, you joined the community yes. a year
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it was less than, phenomenal. Less than you spend on a bottle of wine, so you thought, why not? That's
yeah, so it. Very quickly, in the to the make that point, in the latter days, I got a pay rise at work. So suddenly, rather than putting that in a savings account, I thought, that means I can now move from shopping in Aldi or Lidl for wine, which but not a problem, to Majestic Wine Merchants, of which has a car park and you can do tastings and all this sort of gubbins. Yeah.
Good car park.
It's a car park at the rear.
It does have a car park at the rear.
That's such an in-joke.
Is it worth it? No,
let's just move on.
Yeah.
Move on. Sign up for our premium it. Podcast. And, oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes. So what was the original question? Because I've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah, no, we are distracting you. Sorry, we're a bit giddy tonight, aren't we? We love these community member episodes. That's why we know each other so well, Aaron. That's why.
Love yeah. him. Honestly, I
but
love him.
It's less than a bottle of wine. You got a pay rise at work, so therefore you were no longer in LD, but you were in Majestic that had a car park.
Yeah, I know that. But what was the question? Chad asked me.
Oh, right. Okay. What was the question?
I said, why did you join the community? Why? Yeah, why? Oh, yeah. Why? About 10 minutes ago, I think I asked you that. We've all lost it.
Absolute chaos.
Right. Bring it back.
Yes. So for my, because my sister's birthday was at the end of January. So, so I started with dry January and I love the fact that, you know, I can never. I've done spells of being alcohol free in the past, but I could never just do it on, say, like a random Tuesday or a random date or something like that. So like you, Ben, I like that kind of concept of starting on the first or starting at the start of a week or something like that. So it would be a good start. And I did that so many times. That's why I had so many day ones, because I would always start like on a Monday and then I would finish work and think, for God's sake, I'm absolutely fine. And then come home and then, you know, have a drink, but then I would suddenly regret it on the Tuesday morning. But I couldn't start on a Tuesday, so I would need to wait till the following, like, Monday, do you know? And so it was just this horrible, horrible situation. But it was quite nice that dry January started, and that's just what I did last year. And then it was coming to the end of the month, and I don't know, I just felt that I needed that extra support. I'd been listening to the podcast and thought, oh, why not? I'll just join. And created a profile photo, full name, posted posted in the OTI Scotland group just to say hello. And I also posted in the main forum. And then I signed on to a call and it was Neil's Sunday call. So Sunday night call. So, and it was wonderful. I joined 10 minutes before the call started and Neil was there and we chatted for 10 minutes, just him and I. So he is like the first real face of OTI that I've seen, and he is the perfect ambassador for the community and the fact that Neil joined from the very start, from when the community went live.
He joined us.
Yeah.
He joined us on day one of our community, on his day one. And also we have done an episode with Neil. Ben, what's it called? Neil, the so, what? What,
I mean,
is
his
he, what do we call
a sober
it?
Sober cyclist, isn't he? But,
yeah, we didn't.
Just type in Neil Curtis and you'll find it. He's got a lovely face.
Yeah,
it's
such a good episode. He's such a top bloke. And you know what? To hear that another community member was the first person that you met in Over the Influence, sort of virtually. It's just testament to this flipping community and the people we've got in there, Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely. And then at the end of that call, Neil stayed on for 10 minutes and I spoke. And sometimes, obviously, calls aren't recorded, but sometimes you wish they were. I would love to go back and watch that one and see what I said and how I was, because I look back at photos of myself now in the past of when I was drinking. I loved a selfie. I loved a pint and a selfie. And I look at those photos and think, I do not recognize that person anymore. It's crazy. And looking back at pictures and going, God, you kind of thought you were happy then, but really you weren't. You're actually very happy now. So, but yeah, Neil, I've spoken about on possibly the podcast I did with Chris, but I also talk about him quite a lot within the community. Bit of a fanboy to Neil, really. I mean, I keep on saying his name.
He's literally listening to this
now. Self, Neil, word.
He's on his bike, absolutely beaming. Yes.
But he, you know, he genuinely was an inspiration throughout my journey of being alcohol free. That meeting him in that call, I got to know him. And then at some point, kind of when I was coming to the end, so probably the following week later, after that weekend away, Neil was like, right, well, what's the plan? And I think because I'd been on a few Zooms and immersed myself in the community, I thought, oh, great, okay, well, maybe I'll go for 100 days. That's what Shaz and Ben are always saying on the podcast, go for 100 days. So I thought, right, I'll do that. And then Neil said, you know, right, we're approaching 100 days. What's the plan next? And I was like, right, I'll go for 6 months. I'll go for 6 months. And then somewhere on the journey to 6 months, I was like, well, I'm obviously going to go for a year. And then now, kind of at some point between 6 months and a year, it was like, yeah, this is probably just for good. Like, I can't see myself going back to this. And the way I always think about it is that, don't get me wrong, sometimes I do have these fleeting moments of going, well, you know, wouldn't it be nice to go back to drinking? Because I had good times, but I only remember, or everyone kind of tends to only remember the good times. But for me, I know that I can't moderate. And what was really nice was joining the community, was that that's the general feeling amongst others, is that you can't really moderate. It doesn't work. So for me, it left me with two options, which was to drink or not drink. And I know from past experience, from the times that I've stopped before, that if I'm drinking, I'm not just drinking on a Friday and Saturday night. I'm drinking every night of the week. And, you know, I don't want to go back to that. I felt dreadful. I was unhappy, all the things that I mentioned at the start of this podcast. So it leaves me with the option of just not drinking. And also as well, I feel like if I was to suddenly go back to drinking, I wouldn't be able to be a part of OTI. And I don't know, it would be weird keeping in touch with people that I've become such like genuine friends. I think that would feel really weird, just suddenly be like, right, guys, see you later. And never being able to see people, not going on OTI events. And then also, I suppose, the worry that if I went back to some of the really good friends that I've made in the community, would also go, oh, well, if Aaron's doing it, I'll go do it as well. So I think it's a really nice progression that just keeps you going with others.
So much there I want to pick up on. Just quickly, by the way, Shaz, we couldn't remember Neil's episode title because it's Neil Curtis, 2 years alcohol-free. Just nice and simple. It wasn't like a catchy...
Oh, right, okay, like, right.
You know, it's great. We're celebrating his 2 years.
And, simple and to the point.
Came out on the 31st of July, 2023, if you want to scroll back and have a listen to Neil the Legend.
And that also means on that day, OTI, the community, was also... two years. It was also our birthday. And also, I just quickly want to squeeze in as well, during the course of that episode, it gets really emotional. And it's a cracking listen for so many reasons. But you find out during the course of that episode, and it all comes back to Over the Influence and the fact that Neil gave us a chance and he changed his life. He's now involved as Lowland Rescue. He's a Lowland rescuer. He helps people massively. And just listen to it. It's really emotional as to the reasons how that all came about. It's phenomenal. He's a top geezer. Aaron, thank you so much. And I hope Neil hasn't fallen off his bike while he's listening to this into a ditch somewhere, because he is the sober cyclist. We're just going to take a very quick break from this fabulous episode with Aaron. And if you're listening to this thinking, I recognise that very Scottish voice. I've heard this chat before. Yes, you have. Aaron was on the podcast just before Christmas. I think it might have been November. Don't quote me exactly on that. And it was Aaron on the pod from Scotland and Chris from the United States of actual America. And basically, Chris had been over. I get dead excited. I get really excited about our overseas members. I really do. Chris had been over for one of our Over the Influence events, and him and Aaron have become, in Aaron's words, I think it was, you know, the very, very best of friends. And it's brilliant. Transatlantic online friendships and then meeting up in real life. And you know what? That is what can happen when you join Over the Influence. There's so much stuff going on. Yes, we do the big organised events. This year we're doing Ben Nevis, we're doing Scarfell, we're doing Snowdon. They are the highest peaks in each of Scotland, England and Wales. And as well, later on this year, we are doing the Yorkshire Three Peaks. These are member-only events. They're absolutely fantastic. But what we're finding happening, and this has really, really picked up over the last 12 months or so, is that so many people within their areas, within their regions of the UK are getting together and doing their own things. I know that Aaron is massively involved in the Scottish contingent, man.
Literally this weekend, Aaron's going for Sunday lunch in Glasgow.
Oh, nice.
So I've been looking through the forum. Yeah, and I think it's a really good time to talk about, because Aaron does loads of his own meetups. And I'm just having a look to the forum. And so, yeah, there's Sunday lunch in Glasgow happening this weekend. Did you see that Paul, Angie and Carol met up Belfast as well?
The
Born to Run event. There's also coming up, these are all unofficial OTI events, but just members getting together. There's the York City Wall Walk coming up with the Godfather.
Organised by Ian.
There's an AF comedy night in London.
Amazing.
That a few OTI members are going to. Danny Bangers is doing another unofficial hike club.
Yep.
And what happens on hike club stays on hike club. They're starting from somewhere called Lady Bower.
Yeah, I don't even want to know.
Have you heard of that?
Danny makes me nervous. He makes me nervous.
Yeah.
He always comes back and reports back, Ben, and says, nobody died on this one. And we're like, brilliant.
Yeah, which is good.
Great. Brilliant, thanks.
Southwest meetups happening in somewhere called Saltash. You ever heard of that? I've never even heard of that.
I think that is happening today as we speak. They're going for a nice 5-mile walk. And then what I love about most events, actually, Ben, it always ends in either a cafe or some sort of tea room. And I get sent pictures of bacon balms and large slices of Victoria sponge and cups of tea and coffee.
There is something in the planning at the moment as well, which is a pub crawl, but for bakeries.
And what? Whoa.
Love that.
Who the hell? Where's our invite?
I can't remember. Someone said it and they were like, why is this not a thing? A pub crawl, but bakeries.
Genius.
Great idea.
That's genius.
Yeah. All of this happens in our community. And look, we'd love you to sign up and be a part of it. It's $24.99 a month or £249 for a year if you want an annual membership, which means you obviously save a couple of months. Just go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and click the Join Our Community button. There's so much that goes on in there. Like, it's not just about these unofficial meetups. It's the forums. It's the 3 Zoom calls a day. It's the events that you can only exclusively join if you're an OTI member. There's the OTI chat. We just basically tried to create a place where you can pick and choose the bits that work for you. And look, let's face it, $24.99 a month, I'd spend that on a round when I was a drinker, easily, and the rest. Anything else for you to say before we get back to Aaron?
I was looking a bit vacant then because I was just working out the sums in my head. I think we have got 15, 18, 21, 20, 22 Zoom calls a week that you can join.
Three
a day, all UK times, but because they run at 9 in the morning, sometimes 7 in the morning on a weekend, 1 in the afternoon, 7 at night, there'll be something that you can join. And if you want to sign up for 22. Yeah, exactly. And
that's what we're aiming for anyway, because isn't American Sharon doing a Zoom call
So it's 25.
Members
I think well. There's 20.
There are so many. Time.
2 dozen Zoom calls a week. There's a lot. And there will be one that at least one that fits in with your time zone. And you can join as many as you like. If you can do all 25, brilliant. Fill your flipping boots. They are the absolute game changers when it comes to connection. If you want any more info about what we do here at Over the Influence, drop me an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Right, let's get back to our episode with Aaron.
We'll be right back.
Ben, you want to pick up on some of the things that Ari mentioned there?
I want to go deep because I think this isn't for the poster. This isn't trying to flog anything. Like, this is just genuinely asking you a question as an interested person. Because going back to that, you know, the community hub that was the pub, have you replaced it with, you said, you know, the Zoom calls are kind of how you stay connected. Like, I really mean this, not trying to flog it, but do you think that you needed to kind of replace that regular connection to be able to stay alcohol free? Like, if you'd gone alcohol free without a community, and it could be anything, not Over the Influence, could be any community out there, but do you think that you, like, genuinely, do you think you would have made it to over a year if you had been like a sober lone ranger doing it on your Todd?
No. So I would have gone straight back to drinking had I not have joined the community. I also did a couple of other things that probably would have, had I not done them, would have led me back to it. So at that time, I was in a relationship with someone that they were very anti me not drinking, and realized that our kind of whole relationship was built around the fact of going to the pub and enjoying nice wine and doing all that sort of thing. And I could see it kind of not really having much kind of distance going, the relationship. It was kind of early days, but we were having good fun. But I took the difficult step before, so actually around about the same time I joined the community, but before I went away for my sister's birthday, was to kind of end that. And I have said to my mum, and I chat about this all the time, and she agrees with me, that had I not done that, I would have just been back drinking. So I would have probably done Dry January, but then would have went back to it. So yeah, definitely being part of the community has helped. And that's not me saying that because you're paying me to say that. Although
slide a tenner your way later.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to pay me, it's fine. It'll need to be in Scottish money, but but yeah, no, definitely. It's a funny one because, yeah.
It sounds like you've given up a lot, Aaron. Like, if you're just being brutally honest, it sounds like you've given up a lot to be alcohol free.
Yes, it has. But here comes the cheesy line: I've gained so much more.
I'll tee him up. You smash him out of the park, Aaron. Yeah.
Gold.
You hear me say that all the time in the podcast, but it's true. Like, it's so true.
It's
all these
true.
Like, yeah, the when I used to listen to Zoom hosts in the early days of me when I had joined the community, the stuff that they would say, the cliche things that you would hear over and over again, they do actually work. And then suddenly now, as a Zoom host myself and a year on, I like sometimes hear myself saying those things and in my head going, oh my God, like, listen to yourself. But it's true.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally true. You're saying it because it actually, like, it does work. And that's what's really nice about the community, is that it's lovely seeing new community members join and hear them talking about how they're feeling in the early days of sobriety. And it's such a good reminder for me as to why I'm doing what I'm doing and why I'm so far on in my journey. And it's also nice watching their progression as they're bagging days and days and days, and they're going further on in their own journey. It's like seeing this nice, it's quite textbook almost what you've created, because it's the same pretty much for each person that joins the community. If you put into it, you know, that's what you get out. So yeah, it's lovely.
I love that. I've got a couple more questions to ask you, and you don't have to answer them.
Okay.
But I'm really curious to know. It's evident that you're dead close to your family, your mum and dad, and I know you ring your mum every night when she's watching EastEnders just to annoy her, which is, you need to stop doing that. Ring her at a different time, Aaron. Okay.
Yeah. When River City's on instead, they're also second favourite programme.
I love that. What do your parents think of what you've done and the changes they've no doubt seen in their lovely son, Aaron?
Yeah, so my dad's quite... my dad is of a generation who doesn't share his feelings, but he is... Yeah, I think I would say he is proud of me, and I'm probably proud of me more than I realise, and he's realised what I've now got out of being alcohol-free and being part of the community. But he equally feels that it was right for me to have those 7 years of fun and that I was enjoying myself. And I was, for the most part, enjoying myself. But my mum is just incredibly proud of me. And I have cried on many Zoom calls talking about it. Just, she is someone who, it would be really interesting actually to have her here to say what she thinks. But she was worried about me and worried about where my drinking was at, but felt that she would never say anything and would never want to say anything because I was an adult and I was on the face of it having fun. But it's funny how parents know when you're not happy. They just know. And I don't know how they know, but they do. And yeah, she tells me most times I see her that when we're talking about alcohol-free life and OTI, and because I've immersed myself in the community, I talk about it a lot, that she is very proud of me for going alcohol-free. And she loved the podcast, listening to the podcast that I recorded with Chris. We went for a drive in the car just for an hour down the coast just to listen to it. And we'll probably do the same with this one. So, hi, Mum.
Why does that make me cry? That's just, oh my God. That is just wonderful. Hi, Aaron's mum. It's just lovely. Yep. The thought of you now just driving along with your mum listening to this, it's wonderful. You spoke a lot about pride there. Obviously, you're proud of what you've done. Your parents are immensely proud of you. At the risk of sounding like a weird auntie, I'm sorry. We're dead proud of you as well, because we've seen you change so, so much. We've seen you grow in the community from when you dipped in nervously a year ago. Aaron, I think, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong here, you're the only person we've got hosting Zoom calls that did it before they were a year alcohol free. Normally it's the case that, you know, our Zoom hosts have got at least a year's sobriety under the belt. And there's a really good reason for that. But we knew your passion, the way you wanted to give back and to help others. Do you see what we see? Do you see the changes in yourself that have occurred over the last 12, 13 months?
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be, because you're almost kind of looking in and you've seen me on Zoom calls. So yeah, I probably maybe don't notice it as much. But yeah, it was an honor to have been asked to host the Zoom calls early on, because you'd said to me, we normally wait until you're a year. And I understand why. You know, you need someone that is quite content within their sobriety and that you can trust to host calls. But I don't, forgive me if I'm wrong, but it could be that when we met, you and Chris and I went out for dinner in Malvern in March. And I wondered if that was, the kind of like, you know, you had then met me in person and we had like a nice rapport, you know, and dinner together. And it was also this huge, like, honor of trust, I suppose, that I was being asked to host this call, you know. And I only ever just listened to the podcast when I was sober curious. So now to be a year on and to be on the podcast doing an episode, hoping to just inspire at least one person, hosting Zoom calls, you know, it's quite surreal. It's a weird one.
I really like your story, Aaron. And I really like that you are very open about the fact that you had some good times drinking. You know, it's a really important thing for me that we talked about it with Sarah Turner, the unmumsy mum.
Yeah, the unmumsy mum.
I reference it all the time. But she, I loved that. In her 20s, it worked for her. It fit with her lifestyle. In her 30s, it stopped being good for her. You know, it was a bit embarrassing at times. It was giving a hangover. It didn't fit anymore. And that's fine, isn't it? It's better to say, at that point in my life, yeah, I enjoyed it. This part of my life, not for me. And I think what it sounds like you're saying, and again, this is a phrase we use a lot in this podcast, the I didn't have a rock bottom, but I could see it from where I was standing thing. I think it's amazing when somebody is self-aware enough to go, this is going downhill. You know, and it might not be a moment where you go, ah, right, click. This has suddenly gone from okay drinking to potentially bad, negative drinking. But you've still caught yourself at a point where you can catch yourself to go, this is only going one way. I don't want it to go that way. And therefore, I'm going to make a change. I think that's just awesome. And, you know, it's the whole OTI philosophy. And I was talking to someone about this the other day, the idea of, you know, that Desmond Tutu, you know, we've got to stop pulling people out the river and go upstream and find out why they're falling in. You know, it's that idea of early intervention. Like, how many more people could be helped if this idea, this rock bottom narrative, you've got to have a rock bottom before you change your relationship with alcohol. If that didn't exist, how many more people would benefit from removing alcohol who are on that slippery slope? Do you know what I mean? I love talking to people who had that insight. And do you think it was it a conscious thing? Because I definitely had that little voice in my head going, you're drinking on stress now. Oh, you're drinking on your own now, you know. And it for me, it took Over the Influence and a job to produce this podcast and make me finally go, right, I'm going to give it a go for 3 months. You know, for you, was it a conscious, like, what was it that made you go, right, now?
I don't know. It's funny how I probably didn't have necessarily the feelings like what you were saying there. I think it's funny how you just normalize your drinking. So for me, it was like, well,
yeah,
I live in my own and I always have lived in my own. So this is just normal me coming home and having a bottle of wine with dinner. And when I looked around the people that I knew, of course, I was surrounding myself with people who were drinkers. They were all doing that sort of routine as well. But I had a call. I had a chat recently with somebody who I hadn't seen in probably over 10 years, I would say. And they said, oh, but you weren't really that bad of a drinker. You didn't really drink that much. And it's like, well, it doesn't really matter how much I drank. I was in a really bad place. And for me, I had to remove it. But then what I realized off the back of that conversation was that person's almost comparing like my drinking to their drinking. And it's kind of trying to like a mirror of themselves sort of thing. And they're trying to justify their own drinking. So you kind of realize that, but
you were in a like you said earlier about low mood and used the word depression as well. You know, so I suppose it was in a bad place, but did you have a rock bottom?
No, I wouldn't say I did. And what I would also like to say is that chatting to people like Neil or others in the community who were say 10, 20 years older than me, who were going, oh my goodness, I wish I had done this when I was your age. And chatting with these people who just are really, you know, and I'm doing air quotes here, normal people, but just, you know, really nice people from all different backgrounds that might, a lot of them, like, you know, Neil, for example, didn't have a rock bottom, but realized he needed to change it, was enough of an inspiration for me going, well, if those people are saying they wish they'd done it 20 years ago, then maybe this is something that I should do now. And equally as well, on the flip side, there was certainly a fleeting thought of going, oh, well, they've kind of turned out all right now, so I could maybe drink for another 10 years and then do it then. But why bother waiting when you can just do it now? You know, I listen to the podcast always to try and listen to somebody that like inspired me or somebody that was like me. I think I always wanted to listen to the podcast, somebody that was like relatively young, a guy that was kind of on this journey. And it was, I never kind of heard that, but I still felt the need to join. But I've equally met lots of young people now within the community. And it's lovely.
I think what Aaron's saying, amazing, Shaz, is why wait to feel great?
I knew you were going to wheel that one out. It was coming, wasn't it?
You haven't. Forgot about it, to be honest. I'm glad it's back.
I think that's the first one of 2024.
It definitely is.
It's such a good point, Aaron, and I echo what Ben has said. It's a joy to listen to your story, and you have, and I can tell you this now, you have saved yourself 10, 20 years of pain. I wish I had done it when I was 30, but I didn't. In fact, that's exactly where my drinking ramped up for the next 15 years. 14 years, I started doing this at 44. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. You know, I can look back and go, yeah, I wish I'd done it sooner. I didn't, you know, and you know, like we've talked a bit about in this episode as well. I had some great times when I was drinking in my 20s and in my 30s, less so. In my 40s, without a doubt. In fact, if you've not already listened to this episode as well, go back and listen to Craig Beck from a couple of weeks ago. He talks about this a lot. And he talks about just growing up, that it changes. You know, you've reached a certain age, just grow up. And it really does change. Aaron, it's It's been a pleasure. It's flown by, and there was so much, all the stuff we wanted to talk about the community, about the events, about the friendships you've made. One of them, it's such a beautiful friendship. It is with you and Chris, and it's Chris who's in the States. Go back and listen to that gorgeous episode that we did with Aaron and Chris a few weeks ago. Aaron, you give so much to our community. Thank you from myself and Ben. You give so much on the Zooms. And one thing as well that comes with it with you is humour. You know, we laugh a lot. We really, really do. We talk about some really serious stuff on the podcast, within the forums, on the Zooms at Over the Influence. But there is not a, I don't think there's a day go by where we haven't messaged or chatted or whatever, where you haven't made me actual lol laugh out loud. And I still use the term lol, even though I'm 50, because it makes me laugh. Aaron, you're flipping wonderful. Big up your bad self. Thank you for giving us a chance. We're so glad to have you here.
Yeah, not a problem. There's obviously so much that I still would have loved to have said and shared, and I'll probably come off this recording and think, oh my God, I wish I'd said that. But, you know, we can leave that for another time. But you hit the nail on the head there at the end, which is, yeah, about having a laugh. I'm a very funny person, funny to look at, but funny person, you know, and I like having a laugh, and I take that into the hosting of the Zoom calls, because we're celebrating the joys of being alcohol-free. It should be fun. It shouldn't be this really depressing, down-in-the-dumps thing. It is tough doing it, don't get me wrong. And obviously in some calls, you do have people that, you know, are on cloud nine, but other people who aren't, you know, necessarily in a great place. But just going into everything with laughter and humour, I think, is the best way to do it, because we're having fun. This is meant to be fun. You know, me sitting on the couch every night feeling depressed wasn't fun. So, yeah.
I've got one final question. How would you sum up Over the Influence and what it's meant for you over the last 12 months?
I think someone else possibly said this on another call, on another podcast. It might have been yourself, Shaz, or it might have been Susan, Susan McGarry, the believer, the achiever.
All of the above.
It saved me, you know. I think that maybe sounds a bit of a cliche, but it just saved me from so much wasted time. There's so much I've achieved. And being alcohol-free is the best thing that I've done in my life. And that sounds weird to say, but equally sounds a bit sad saying that, like, oh, that's all you've achieved. But I think in this world that we live in, where everything is so thrown and drilled in, that drinking is so normalized, for you to suddenly stop doing that and just go against the grain, it is tough. So yeah, I would say it's probably the best thing I've done, and it saved me just future years of pain. And it saved me quite a lot of money. Well, it's not really saved me money, because I've now found a way to spend that money on other things. So
yeah, you buy your grapes from Marks and Spencer's. I mean, come on, what do you expect?
You voted me.
Less than I'd spend on a bottle of wine. It saved me. I think we got enough. It saved me. I think we got enough quotes for the post.
Brilliant. Aaron, OTI community member from a little village south of Glasgow in Scotland, thank you for joining us on the podcast. Thank you for sharing your story. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you.